It's the Observation Deck with Gordo, brought to us by Man's Best Friend and A Number One Air.
Thank you, Milliran. You know, we often like to examine the difference between the genders, I guess you would say. The sexes, the way we used to call it. Now they're genders, maybe? Or is gender the way you feel, and sex is the physical plumbing?
Yeah.
Anyway, the men's and the women's. Yeah. And we always talk about how guys tend to like prison movies and prison escape movies, things like that. And women just don't seem to like that or the Three Stooges. There's another thing that women don't like, right, that men tend to like. I'm going to throw another one on the pile for our debate fodder, and that is time travel movies. Are women as obsessed with time travel as men are?
No. As long as you put a romantic story in there, then yes. But if there's no romance in it to where he has to go back and find her, then nah, not so much.
No, this is just, this is basically time travel that deals with just history, not a relationship.
No, because women in general are not into history.
Ooh, boy, shot across the bow of women there from Junior Miller.
How many female history teachers do you know of, or did you ever have?
I had a few, but yeah.
Did you?
Yeah, but I think you're right. Most are not. But we will get a couple of emails this morning.
And that's when Alexander the Great conquered most of the world. And you know what I heard about him? He was in love with this woman. Okay, so one of the big conundrums and one of the big problems that's debated in time travel is, would you go back in time and kill baby Hitler?
Right.
Why is Norm laughing? And this is also a philosophical question. Is it wrong to kill baby Hitler? Don't mark that, by the way, and don't take that as a drop because it sounds so harsh. Anytime you invoke the H name.
Because you're killing a human being.
Yeah, and at that point, you're killing an innocent human being.
Right.
Because Hitler hasn't done Hitler stuff yet.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of episodes of shows have dealt with this idea of going back in time and killing Hitler. And I read an old bookmark that I had in my browser about how different people had dealt with the issue of going back in time and killing Hitler. The Twilight Zone did this, in fact. A guy named Paul Driscoll in a Twilight Zone episode.
The original?
Yeah. Underrated episode, underrated show.
Hey, you know what?
Those are great.
Interesting you bring this up because I've been watching old Twilight Zones lately.
There's some interesting ideas in that
Man,
show.
Man, that show holds up. It is still great.
It's black and white, though, Junior. I
know.
You're against that.
I generally am, but I'm such a science fiction freak that I've always given Twilight Zone a pass.
Gay.
So this character named Paul, he not only does he fail to kill Hitler, there was the intervention of a suspicious maid. She suspected him and prevented him killing Hitler. He also tried to warn the Hiroshima police about the atomic bomb. That failed. He couldn't warn them. He failed to keep the Lusitania from being torpedoed, and he was unable to change past events. And when he does affect events in the past, it's only as part of a predestination paradox. Now, this is also common in these time travel things, which is what you do ensures the very events that you are going back to try to stop.
Right.
In other words, you were part of the predestination plan all along to go back in time to do what you did to prevent things that would actually end up causing the things,
yep,
which causes an extra little mind screw in there. I got to thinking about this because I started watching the Stephen King penned 11/22/63.
Oh, yeah.
Which is about...
How is that?
An English teacher that goes back in time to prevent Lee Harvey Oswald from killing JFK. It's pretty good. I've only watched the first episode. I think it's an 8-part miniseries.
On Netflix?
On Hulu.
Oh, okay.
That's what I'm watching it on. And James Franco plays the teacher, the Stephen King-type character. And it's interesting because it involves this time travel and how the past doesn't want to be changed. And every time James Franco gets close to changing something substantially in the past, things start happening. You know, his car stops working in the past to where he can't get to where he needs to go to prevent something from happening. Or... And I think that's an interesting idea, that the past does not want to be screwed with. It is resistant to being changed. Mm-hmm. And that's what we see in a lot of these time travel episodes when they're going back to try to kill Hitler. There's also some a show in which time travelers going back trying to kill Hitler, but Hitler's bodyguards are so used to dealing with time travelers at this point that they've become very good at spotting people who have time traveled.
Or just fall out of the sky.
Right.
Roll into a
right, and then there's other ones where someone goes back in time to kill Hitler, and they accidentally drop their smartphone, which Hitler then gets and uses to reverse engineer and advance Nazi technology by 60 years, making them more invincible. One of the other ones that I thought was really good was that an elderly Holocaust survivor, he finds this way to go back in time and possess the body of a young Hitler, like a teenage Hitler. And he humiliates Hitler by animating his body, making him do stuff, and tries to goad Hitler into committing suicide from working inside his own mind. But Hitler regains control of his body, and, of course, the deed is not accomplished, and young Hitler is so haunted by being the encounter with this Jewish survivor that he then turns out to hate Jewish people, and that's what causes another predestination paradox. Another one is where Katherine Heigl plays this character. She travels back in Austria in order to kill infant Hitler, and she succeeds in killing the baby by jumping into the river with it. But Adolf Hitler's mother or father gets a new baby, and they raise that as Adolf Hitler, and it turns out that's the one that became Hitler.
Golly.
It's so maddening!
It is.
Maybe that's why women hate this, because it's maddening.
It was never clear what the destination was for Kip and Uncle Rico, was it?
They just wanted to go back and relive high school glory. Yeah. They didn't have a lot
anyone
of...
Could even know
their aspirations weren't that high.
Uncle Rico just wanted to go back to be a starter his senior year because he could have won the state championship and got his soulmate.
I know, but how was he going to make Coach put him in?
I don't think he had thought that far in advance. He just wanted to get back there.
Well, when you really start unstitching it, you really shouldn't mess with the past.
No.
Because I think that what's going to happen is if you, especially when you deal with something like preventing Hitler, which prevents how many untold millions of deaths, then you just have Stalin that moves in and he causes two times the amount of deaths because Russia takes over.
Mm-hmm.
It's the all the checks and balances of power, all of the people who wouldn't exist if you go back and make some other people exist in the past. And it's a total mind screw as to you can't have a world. This world would be so different if you just changed a small thing in the past.
Yep.
The butterfly effect would create it to where life as we know it now would be completely different.
Mm-hmm. It is a fascinating topic. It really is.
I'm going to figure it out.
Oh, okay, good. Let us know.
Yeah. We'll figure it out.
Yeah. Better get to Hitler's wiener.
Whoa, right, that's I don't have anything on that, George.
It's the observation deck. Thank you, Gordo. Let's muse in the news on a Wednesday morning with the great Gordo, brought to us by D&M Leasing and All-Pro Foundation Repair.
After our time travel talk in the O-Deck this morning, lots of people giving me good recommendations. Some people saying I need to watch Black Mirror on Netflix. I do watch that. It's very good. You guys need to watch that.
Okay.
It's an anthology that's basically how technology has affected our futures.
I love
technology.
It's
set just a little bit into the future, and you don't have to watch. It's not like episodic to where you have to watch one and then the next one in chronological order. So that's really good. Also, people saying check out Star Trek City on the Edge of Forever.
Yes, that's one of my favorite episodes.
See, I would watch that, but then I'd have to watch that overrated show, the original
watch Star Trek. Then.
They had a couple different time travel episodes. This one, I believe, is the one with Joan Collins.
Mm-hmm.
And they had another one where they went back in time and they were trying to affect the launch of a rocket. You remember that one, Jer?
Yes, I think that may have been for the moon landing. So they were actually trying to make sure the moon landing happened.
Maybe that's right, yeah.
That was the one with the Huey Lewis song in it.
Great time travel episodes.
Going to go back in time.
Oh.
It's on that Star Trek episode.
Song's a little bit of a beating.
That song is a beating. Okay, we've had a very notable death here. A Little Elm police officer has been shot and killed in a standoff. This is the first Texas officer killed this year. I think this may be the first one since in this area since the five officers were killed during the massive shootout in downtown Dallas.
Man, this is a terrible story.
This is horrible. This Little Elm police officer fatally shot yesterday afternoon in a standoff with a gunman that stretched for hours and forced the neighbors to evacuate. But Detective Jerry Walker was one of the officers on the scene there, and the suspect fired out a window and hit Detective Walker in the neck.
Ugh.
So even if he had been, and I don't know whether he was wearing his bulletproof vest or not, his Kevlar vest, but it wouldn't have helped here because it hits him in the neck. So Walker was a 48-year-old man. He was an 18-year veteran of the police force. He was just promoted to detective a few years ago in 2013. Had four children.
Ugh. Oh, gosh.
Ranging in age from 22 years old to down to just a few months. He had one baby. So cops responded to this scene shortly after 3 p.m. yesterday because someone called in a report that said there's a guy in a yard with a long gun, a rifle. And so officers get there, they hear a man screaming at them from the backyard of this home, and so they backed away because they see the gun. And at some point between 3 and 4 p.m., yesterday, the guy goes into the house, starts shooting through a window. Officers fire back, but Detective Walker was struck there in the neck during that exchange. Other officers were able to get him to a vehicle and take him away from the scene, and he was flown by air ambulance to Medical City Denton, where he died. Well, the guy who shot him did not live either. I believe he was killed. They found him. After they rescued another person from that house, an elderly woman, they got her out through a first-floor window, and the standoff stretches into the night, and they had to keep some kids in nearby schools, keep them in lockdown for a while until they cleared them. But I think that I can't find it here in the story, but didn't the gunman, they found him dead inside there?
Yeah, right? Did he take his own life?
That's what it appears. I don't see it in the story, but...
Yeah, I'm not sure.
But this Detective Walker, I mean, a lot of kids from Little Elm remember him because he was the school resource officer at Little Elm High School for years. So he was very well known in that community. Also, had served in the Army for several years. It's just...
such a needless death. Such a sad story.
I know.
That's Norm's neighborhood.
Oh, that's
right.
Yeah,
Little Elm. Little Elm.
And then we have this interesting story from Houston, Texas. A woman was arrested on Sunday in Houston on suspicion of abducting her two daughters who went missing in Rhode Island in 1985. Part of like a custody situation. She didn't have custody of the daughters. The father did. But she abducts them when they are 3 years old and 10 months old. And had been raising them, I guess, in Houston. And changed their name. They went under assumed identity and so on. So can you imagine these girls, when their mom's arrested, find out that not only are their names fake, but they find out the story of their background. What do you feel at that point? You know, they're in their 30s now. 35 and 32 years of age.
Man.
And they find out that their mom abducted them way back when. The dad has been
pretty weird
looking for them ever since then.
I would mess with you.
Yes. And then the mom goes to jail. So what do you do in this case?
What do you mean?
There's something that doesn't sit right with me either way. If you punish the mom and then take her out of that home. Now, granted, these are adult kids. It's not like they're going to be without a parent that's raising them.
Right.
But still, the amount of disruption to the family.
You're saying you should just let the mom get away with it?
You know what I'm saying? It's just, it's uncomfortable each way.
Yeah, it is. But the mom made it uncomfortable either way.
Yeah.
So make it more uncomfortable for her by putting her in the slammer. Throwing her into gin pop.
What about if they got grandkids and now they got to go visit Granny in the jail?
Yeah, you just tell the grandkids that Granny went to see Jesus.
Oh my!
You don't take them to see Granny in gin pop as she's trying to fashion some sort of knife to defend herself.
What? Man, you've got a lot of details that I don't read here.
And she's getting all soaked up in the shower, and a scene breaks out.
Whoa, man.
With music.
Hey, slow up, dude. Dude, slow up. So you're saying it's preferable to tell the grandkids that Granny just died all of a sudden.
Yes.
Than to tell them that she just went to jail.
Yes.
Wow. I would love it if you wrote a parenting book. Craig Miller's Guide to Parenting. Making the proper call in difficult situations.
You know what? I'm going to have that done by ticket stock and sell it at a booth there.
And every one of them ends with just tell them that the parent or grandparent is dead. No matter what difficulty it is. Don't tell them that grandma had to have her leg amputated due to diabetes.
No.
Just tell them that grandma died.
But you dress it up. You make it a little softer for the kid.
By saying going to see Jesus.
Grandma went to see Jesus.
Right.
She's really happy now.
So now she's in heaven helping Jesus get Santa's presents ready for Christmas.
Yes. You're going to get better presents with Granny in heaven. So be
Gosh,
happy.
Gosh, man. Stop it. Creep me out. Well, guess what Obama did? So-called Obama.
Man, he's got 2 days left.
Yeah.
How about that?
And he's been busy. Did you see how he's getting more people hooked on the government dole? Because he and Michelle donated Malia and Sasha's play center that was right out there on the lawn out in front of the Oval Office where he could watch them play and stuff when he's working. They donated that to a family shelter. So here...
So sad.
These kids getting handouts.
Sad.
These kids living on handouts again from the government.
Good luck, Captain.
How much that cost us?
Yeah, how much that cost the taxpayers?
To buy it and they had to move it?
That's a lot of money right there.
I know.
Yeah, the name of the shelter is called The Jobs Have Priority Naylor Road Family Shelter. The Jobs Have Priority Naylor Road Family Shelter.
That doesn't make sense.
It's a little overnamed.
So is he hurrying up and doing lots of stuff in the last week?
Generic.
Or is he coasting?
Oh, I think that he's coasting. He knows that no matter what he'll do, it'll be undone.
Right.
But he is doing some things that can't be undone, such as he commuted all but 4 months of Chelsea Manning's sentence. Formerly Bradley Manning? You know, she's now
the
Manning Chelsea.
Sister.
Yeah, and they say she was the best. Had she not hurt her
really
knee?
She really was a good football player.
Yeah. Anyway, Chelsea Manning is the Army analyst that was convicted back in 2010 of the leak of all the documents.
Yes.
And given a 35-year sentence, and she's tried to commit suicide, I think, twice in prison. And I believe she's still waiting government-funded sex reassignment surgery. I think.
Oh, boy.
Anyway, she had her sentence commuted, so she's only going to have to serve a few more months, but basically served 7 years there. So Obama commuted her sentence. He granted 63 other pardons, 207 other commutations, mostly for drug offenders. And one of the sentences that he pardoned or commuted was Willie McCovey.
Stretch?
Yeah, not former Hall of Famer, he's current Hall of Famer, Willie McCovey. Yeah, McCovey, I guess, was convicted in 1995 on tax evasion charges, along with Duke Snyder. I'm insane now. Anyway, and they were sentenced to 2 years of probation, fine $5,000, and I guess they, served those out.
Mm-hmm.
But now Obama travels back in time and commutes their sentence.
Why? Just because he liked him as a player?
Well, that's the thing, is that, the Chicago Cubs jokingly pardoned Obama for his White Sox fandom. He's a big White Sox guy.
Right.
So, he's tied up with all them Chicago teams. And, also, Donald Trump is going to sit down with Bill O'Reilly for the Super Bowl halftime interview.
Wow.
Or is it halftime? Do they do it at halftime or do they do it before?
I bet that's pregame.
Yeah.
Right?
Does he get to spin if he wants to?
Because they have like a 5-hour pregame show they got to
fill. But this is something that Obama really started. He would always do the Super Bowl interview.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So now it's become a tradition, us merging our two greatest things we get worked up about, politics and sports, and we put them together on Super Bowl day.
Trump's okay with O'Reilly? He's not fake news?
No, I think Bill O'Reilly's true fake news.
Is Bill O'Reilly very pro-Trump?
Oh, yeah, I think
since
so.
Since he's part of the Fox News thing?
I think so. I don't know, though. You know, Trump can... One awkward word with Bill O'Reilly, and then Trump could call him fake news, and then they're at odds with each other. That's kind of the fun thing about Trump, is you never know who's going to tick him off. Anyway, so Trump's is going to do his sit-down Super Bowl interview with Bill O'Reilly. And let's see, in other news, let's see if I get one more note for you. I said, did I tell you about Willie McCovey? Did I
yeah.
do that already?
Yeah. And about 40 seconds ago.
And some other stuff. All right, birthdays. Bobby Goldsboro is 76.
BG.
Watching Scotty Grow. I remember it was one of his big hits, I think. The Ticket's own Kevin Costner turned 62 today.
Hey.
You know what?
Happy birthday, Kev.
He was really nice when he came into studio.
He was great.
We bonded with him.
Yeah, even though he did bag on your favorite website, celebritynetworth.com.
That's right.
He said that he thought that that figure that they had for him was not accurate.
Right.
Rapper DJ Quick is 47.
Not familiar.
The ladies always
complain. He was the center square on Hollywood Squares for a while, wasn't he?
No.
That is
so.
A drop?
God. Should be.
Actor Jason Segel is 37. And Mark Messier is 56.
Mm, hockey royalty.
Mm-hmm. And you're up to date.
Okay, thanks. That's Muse. It's brought to us by Load Bearing Wall Pros and Baker Brothers Plumbing and Air.
Thank you so much, Miller Man. Well, we talked about Antonio Brown's Facebook Live thing, and he's getting some flack from it for his team, but shouldn't he be praised for being the only person in the organization that supports transparency?
No.
I mean, no? You're not even letting me mount any...
No.
You can't even mount the argument?
No. I think listening to your coach and what he has to say after a big playoff win is probably a little more important than going live on Facebook.
Oh, Tomlin can't say it in front of the fans?
Some things, no, he can't. It's not the fans' place. Or
that
media's.
Is the way that we've moved now, is that there's some people who think that nobody should have a right to privacy, whether it's business-wise or even in your own personal life, and that if we all lived transparently, then we would all live better. We wouldn't say things that would be considered rude. We wouldn't talk behind other people's backs. We wouldn't commit crimes because everything is under the watchful eye of the rest of society. Wouldn't that be a better world?
I don't think so.
In which Tomlin did not say a rude thing about the Patriots?
I don't think so. Locker rooms are sacred.
Sacred?
Yep.
I don't know about that.
I do.
Oh, okay, well, as long as one of us knows about it, then it counts. Well, Bill Belichick was asked about this. And he actually has a history of mispronouncing the names of various social platforms. And have you heard his audio yet, by the way, first of
yeah.
all?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's funny.
Have we played it?
No, no. But we've heard about it.
Okay, you just heard about it. All right, here is him on the radio
Any
station.
Any thoughts on the video or on the comments?
Yeah. Well, as you know, I'm not on Snapface and all that, so I don't really get those. But I'm really just worried about getting our team ready to go. Not really too worried about what they put on Instant Chat or whatever it is.
Now, does your team have any kind of guidelines as far as
Instant Chat
and Snapface?
And Snapface.
I think he messed those up on purpose.
I think he does too. I think he's doing trolling, and he's been trolling social platforms for a while. Because as far back as 2014, he was saying butchering the names of these various things, various. Social sites, like he's called it MyFace. He's called it Yearbook.
Yearbook.
And of course Snapface, as you heard there.
He may not be plugged into social media, but he is smart enough to know that it is not called Snapface.
He's also referred to it as Instaface. Pretty genius.
Yeah.
I think his trolling is good.
He's
doing trolling properly.
Any thoughts on the video or on the comments?
Yeah. Well, as you know, I'm not on Snapface and all that, so I don't really get those. But I'm really just worried about getting our team ready to go. Not really too worried about what they put on instant chat or whatever it is.
Okay.
Instant chat.
Doesn't he just kind of have a deep Adam Carolla voice there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I'm not really worried about that. I mean, anyway,
any thoughts on the video or on the comments?
Yeah. Well, as you know, I'm not on Snapface and all that, so I don't really get those. But I'm really just worried about getting our team ready to go. Not really too worried about what they're what they put on instant chat or whatever it is.
Ah, he's bottoming out there. Good Lord. All right, let's talk travel etiquette. You ever used Expedian? Experian? What? Which one is it? The travel site?
Expedia?
Expedia. Getting confused with Experian, which I think is the people who send me my bad credit reports. Well, they surveyed people and found out the top 14 etiquette violators in plane travel. What people complain about the most. All right. So etiquette violators. What do you think is the number one violation of etiquette, according to travelers, that they complain about?
Wow.
Is it the chair lean back?
No, chair lean back guy was number 8 on this list. Mm. They refer to him as the seat back guy. But yeah, chair lean back guy makes number 8.
Is it loud talking annoying cell phone guy?
Loud talking cell phone guy is number 4 on the list. They call him the audio insensitive. The person who talks too loud or has his earbuds up too loud.
Mr. Shoe Taker Offer Guy?
Shoe Taker Offer Guy, that is number 11. They call him the undresser.
What about Mr. Eating Smelly Food Guy?
That is combined here with people who are aromatic in other ways, too. Okay. Body odor or eating smelly food. They call that the aromatic passenger. He's number 3 on the list.
Wow.
Oh, no, wait a second. No, Craig. The smelly food person is number 10, pungent food guy.
Okay.
Yeah. And aromatic passenger, which is body odor man, he's number 3.
Okay.
Still haven't got number 1. This surprises me.
Etiquette.
Out of hand children.
Nice one, Sean. Checking in at number 2 on the list, inattentive parents.
Oh, that's a good one.
Inattentive parents.
Very good one.
Mr. Overhead Bag Stuffer Guy? The one that's clearly not
going to... The name is getting a little long there. No, he did not make the list.
Mr. Rolling Cooler Roller?
No.
What about Mr. Rude to the Flight Attendant Guy?
Or Drunk Guy?
Hold on, let me... go through. I don't see rude to flight attendant guy, but the boozer makes number 5. He's drunk guy.
Mm-hmm. God, we're all around it, but we can't get number one. What about Mr. Openly Reading Porn Magazines guy?
I'm sorry?
That happened to me on a flight. The guy next to me pulls out a Playboy and... opens the centerfold and holds it long ways and looks at it. And across from us on the aisle, other side, was a mom, a dad, and like a 10-year-old girl.
You should have snap-faced that.
Totally.
Nope.
What are we
Porn
missing?
Guy doesn't make the list, oddly enough. Although, at number 12, you have the amorous, and that is the couple that is amorous with each other. That you just want to say, why don't you take a picture? It'll last longer.
Right.
Is that what you say?
Remember, that's what Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, what the amorous couple said to Steve Martin.
Oh, that's right.
And John Candy got a big kick out of that.
You got busted.
All right, since you didn't get it, I'll go from 14 to number 1. At 14 is the single and ready to mingle guy.
Oh, yeah.
And that is the guy that's picking up on the woman.
That's a good one.
Who wants no part of him at number 14. Number 13, the mad bladder. That's the person who has to... I'm sorry, I have to get up again. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Number 12 is the amorous couple.
I got one.
Uh-oh.
The farter.
I'm assuming that's the aromatic passenger at number 3, but it doesn't...
Thank you.
It doesn't break out the type of bad odor. Yes. Yeah, so at number 11, we had the undresser. That was the shoe taker offer and things like that. At number 10, the pungent food guy. At number 9, the armrest hog, which you guys did not get.
Oh, it's a good one.
Person who hogs the armrest. At number 8, you did get the seatback guy. At number 7, the line jumper guy. The guy who doesn't stand in line to board the plane and just jumps up ahead.
That's you, people.
Gordon Keith.
Seen you do that about 10,000 times.
Oh, I'm not in this group? Oh, okay. Well, sorry. Love it when you get busted.
I have a limp, sir.
No, you don't.
And number 6, the chatty Kathy, the overly talkative stranger.
Look, I'm not much of a conversationalist, and I really need to finish reading this. Please don't let me stand in your way. Please don't let me stand in your way. Last thing I want to be known.
Let the movie go.
As is an annoying blabbermouth.
My dogs are barking.
And that's he was shoe taker offer and he was chatty Cathy. And that's
and
what Steve Martin called
guy.
Him. Yeah,
arm
Steve Martin dog. Called him. He's like a chatty Cathy doll. You just pull the string. And number 5 was the boozer, the guy who drinks way too much on the flight. 4 was the audio insensitive man who has too loud of a cell phone conversation or is wearing earbuds cranked way up. 3 is the aromatic passenger, which has body odor. Whether he's honking or not. Number 2 is the inattentive parents. And at number 1, the one you guys did not get. The seat kicker guy.
Oh yeah, it's a good one.
The number 1 offender. I cannot believe you didn't get that.
Yeah. It's usually a kid.
Yeah, and you got a boy, don't you? Those are the most uncomfortable flights because you spend half the flight working up the courage to confront, knowing that the parents could get wide on you and go to town on you and say, hey, don't you tell my kid what to do.
Tell my kid what to do.
How big old boy are you? Come on over here, Jub. Teach you manners. But the rear seat kicker guy is number 1 offender.
Okay.
Of etiquette rules.
Yeah. And that's, I'll turn into that guy if someone in front of me leans their seat back.
Just talk to the person instead of your stupid cold warfare.
I'll shove my knees into their back as much as possible. I'll kick their seat.
You gotta knee them.
If I get up, I'll grab the seat with my hand and I'll rock it a few times.
Gosh! Why can't you just talk to him?
Because that doesn't work.
How do you know? You've never tried it.
I've heard it doesn't work.
Why don't you say, hey, it's really cramped here. Do you mind not leaning the seat back? Otherwise, it's difficult for me not to move around and not kick the back of your seat.
He'll say, I got a right to move my seat back.
Okay, well then you also have the right to expect a bunch of seat kickings. Just FYI, just to let you know.
So then we're right back where we started.
Right, but at least you give him a chance to solve it peacefully.
I'm not giving anybody a chance at peace.
That's not a bragging point.
There will be no peace.
There will be no peace.
And hey, I do want to mention this. This is we had a very, very sad email that we saw in our inbox this morning because we lost a member of our WBAP extended family this morning. And I heard about it originally on air as I was listening to one of our sister stations as I was driving into work. And I noticed that our buddy Hal J was not on the air, and his partner Brian Estridge delivered the sad news that Hal J's son, Josh, was killed in a car accident last night.
Mm.
And our WBAP family certainly knows Josh's name and Carter and Hal's wife, Ann. You know, Hal would talk about his family quite a bit on the air over the past 35 years. And so Josh and one of his buddies were traveling up from Austin. They live in Aledo. Is it Aledo or Aledo?
Aledo.
And they were traveling back up from Austin. And just before 6 p.m., Josh, who was driving, he was in an F-250, which is a big old truck, right? He loses control and on State Highway 220, 8 miles south of the U.S. 67 intersection, just before 6 p.m., loses control, skids off the road, the truck rolls, comes to a rest on upside down, and Josh was pronounced dead at the scene. That's Hal J's son.
Terrible.
And the passenger, a friend of Josh's named Dean Pepaliotis, I may be getting that wrong, he's a 35-year-old physician, he was riding the passenger seat uninjured from that accident. And Dean said that he and Josh both were wearing their seatbelts. So it's just a horrible tragedy for our Cumulus family here, because Hal's such a good buddy of ours, and to lose a kid like this, and Josh had two kids of his own, so he leaves behind a wife and two children, Hal's grandchildren. So it serves as a reminder of how quickly things can go wrong when you're driving on a highway. There's weather, you know, you have wet roadways, and so it's a reminder just to be as careful as you can, because you never know when something bad can happen.
So the TCU family, too. Josh played for TCU.
He played for TCU. Yeah. Josh was huge, too. He's like 6'5", 300 pounds.
Yeah.
A big guy, man. And was so beloved, I mean, by the TCU family. And so Josh Harbuck, dead at the age of 36, a car accident. So our muser condolences go out to Hal J. and Ann, his wife, and Carter, Josh's brother. So sad news. So if you haven't tweet Hal something nice today or something, and when I'm sure it'll be a while before he gets around to seeing it. But I know that when I lost my parents, and of course I lost my parents to natural causes, and they were in their early 70s, but just the cumulative effect of having a kind word from strangers that you've never met, but you see it on Twitter.
It helps.
It really does help, you know. It builds up this goodwill, this energy, this feeling that helps comfort you in those times. So if you think about it, send Hal a little condolence and well wish today on Twitter.
All right, very sad news. That's the corner. It's 9:31 on the ticket.